Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live and Internet Voices Radio. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today, I'm chatting with Russ Vassallo about his new book, Tears and Tales, which is a series of short stories of animal and human rescue. But before we dive into his book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about him. Russ is a retired trial attorney and cancer survivor who turned to writing as a means of combating depression and as an inspiration to others who find in animals a curative value for their well-being. He sculpted this short story collection based on true life events because of his deep and passionate love of animals. Not only has he rescued a number of pets, his first book is intended to be an inspiration to animal lovers everywhere. Russell, welcome.
Hi, how are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing great. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Your book will appeal to so many of us who are animal lovers and who have found, as you, perhaps not quite as poignantly as you, but who have found their intrinsic value in our lives. And so, you know, with that in mind, tell us a little bit about some of the short stories and how they've impacted your life.
Okay. Well, first of all of the stories are based upon true events. Some of the gaps had to be filled in, and that's why I classify it as fiction. I feel that's a more truthful reading.
Mm-hmm.
Git is actually based upon Sweet Pea. She's a mixed breed little white and brown dog who showed up half starved, stealing my cat food every night. Apparently her puppies had been taken away from her, and she had been abandoned on our road, which is a very rural road.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time I was actually losing another dog to cancer. And I almost felt as though she was sent by someone to make up for what I was about to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And subsequently, about a month later, he did pass away.
Oh, wow.
So Git, she really had a tough road getting here. And she was living out by our garbage box for I don't know how long before I realized that she really had no home. Mm-hmm. She's been a marvel with our grandchildren. She's been a marvel with my wife, Virginia, and myself. She is just an affable animal. Part of the other story, the long shot dog, is about the dog I'm talking about who actually passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerns the last 2 weeks of his life when I knew that he was not going to survive. At that point, I decided to put everything aside and spend 2 full weeks with that dog and get as much quality time with him as I could. And we spent much time walking the woods and the trails for as much strength as he had.
Oh, wow.
And I believe a human bond formed between the two of us, even stronger than it had been as so-called master and pet,
mm-hmm.
Although I regard animals as friends.
They are.
They are, indeed. I'll tell you the strangest story in there is the cardinal, because while I was convalescing at home, a little red cardinal kept coming to the windowsill of my bedroom. And eventually, I wound up admitting it into the bedroom, and it flew to the place where our other dobe, our female dobe, Nikki, used to sleep between Virginia and myself.
No
kidding. Nikki had passed away the day I went in for my operation.
Oh, my.
And I was very angry at the cancer, which I am convinced is the way to beat cancer, to be angry with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sat there and thought, I think Nikki has come back. I think she knows I'm depressed. I think she knows that I'm hurting very deeply. And I think she's trying to tell me that I need to stay here. She can't take care of Virginia anymore. I have to do it.
Oh, wow. That's powerful. Now, there are a number of stories in your book involving animal rescue, more than just what you've shared with us so far.
Well, we've actually backed into it. I never intended to get into animal rescue, and believe it or not, I never intended to write stories about animals.
Well, you come from a very different background, huh? Being a trial attorney.
But the funny thing is that animals have always been my friend ever since I was a young child. I was ill most of the time. Every winter I was down with bronchial pneumonia.
Mm.
And the only friend I had was a little Pomeranian named Palsy. They animals will never fail to say thank you, and they will never fail to show their love in a simplistic bonding way. And that's why I feel the message that animals convey is so much stronger than sometimes even we humans can communicate between one another.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, they, in my opinion, they are the pure essence of unconditional love. And we can have our bad moments and bad moods, and we can accidentally do things that we then regret. And they are so forgiving, and they give us so much latitude, don't they?
Yes, they do. And they become so ingrained in our lives. The dobe I was talking about, the male that passed away from cancer, tribute, would pick up a pillow with a picture of a Doberman on it and carry it around. And that was his signal that he had to go out.
No kidding.
He had to go for his walk, or he had to go in the backyard. Well, I keep that pillow up in my study because that's where we had him put down, right on the very couch where he was born.
Oh, wow.
And when I take my nap sometimes in the afternoon, I take that pillow and I press it to my heart, and I feel that tribute is still there.
His
He's
presence.
Still part of me, and I'm still part of him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, I do believe that. I do.
So.
Well, now your book, Tears and Tales, has a tremendous emotional impact. I understand that people, you know, not only have a chance to understand more about you, but as well, and the animals in their own lives, but even an opportunity to understand more about the poignancy of the animals in their own lives, if they have them.
I hope that's what it accomplishes, because that was part of what I was aiming at, to tell people that there is hope and that they need to move to another level with their animals. I am a very emotional person. I cry much harder when an animal passes away than my wife, Virginia. I don't imply that she doesn't feel it as much, but I'm just much more emotional than she is. I cannot let go, and I know that there are other people out there who probably feel the same way.
Of course. I
wanted to give them a message of hope by expressing my belief that the animals are still there, just on the other side, waiting for us.
Just a little bit of a different energy basis, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well, I believe that, too. I do indeed. And, of course, your own personal experience with them has been much more emotional than I'm sure Virginia's has as yet.
I believe that's true. She had pets, but she also had friends. Because
mm-hmm.
of my early illnesses, by the time I did get out into the streets, the boys there had already formed their bonds, and they were a little bit less than kind to a newcomer trying to break into a circle.
Mm.
So again, the animals became my friends because they accepted me for who I was and how I was.
Right, right. Well, and Russ, if you had to define it, who would you feel would be your target audience in terms of the people that you think would not only enjoy your book the most, but would really benefit from the stories that you share?
Well, I originally wrote the book thinking to aim at pet-loving senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
But I find that my 8-year-old grandson wants to have these stories read to him every time he comes down to visit.
Oh, how great.
My other grandchildren are insisting on the same thing. We've had teenagers who have read the book, and they see a different perspective. I've intended to help people who were depressed and who might consider adopting an animal so that they'd have the opportunity to have this friendship.
Well, you know, speaking about adopting animals, I have come to understand fairly recently that there are so many different kinds of rescue shelters, if you will, that specifically target certain breeds, and they are so there to assist with the adopting process, aren't they?
That's correct. It's really very easy. All you have to do really is go to your animal shelter. You'll find that mixed breeds make a wonderful, wonderful pet. They have the best of both breeds.
Of course, but not only mixed breeds, but even well-bred animals,
mm-hmm.
poodles, Dobermans, oh gosh, all sorts of greyhounds, for example. Greyhounds there's a big community I know of people that have created rescue opportunities for greyhounds because
yes.
the way that they're treated in their early lives.
That's correct. There are rescue organizations even for basset hounds. it's incredible what they've been able to do with the internet and with the age of computers.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted a particular breed of dog and wanted to facilitate in the process of assisting dogs that have been rescued, they could actually go online and do some research targeting the specific breed they're interested in.
That's correct. And in fact, one of the stories a day away is a story of Spunky, who's part Shar Pei and part Pit Bull, and has the most wonderful manner an animal could have. I swear he mimics many of my own personal struggles and anxieties. But he was one day away from being put to sleep because they thought a dog with medical problems such as his would not be adopted. And yet he has enriched my life to such a degree that every time I see his exuberance, I wonder what a waste it would have been to put that animal to sleep. Couldn't he be benefiting some person who needs a friend?
Well, and you know that's true. You know it's true. And I just think that there that more and more people are only just now really becoming aware of the of the part they can play in rescuing these animals without them having to be put down. And I know that more and more animal shelters are establishing no-kill policies, which I certainly embrace. And,
absolutely.
And certainly the animals have come up through, you know, our pets, our dogs and our cats, our domestic animals, and other pets. Some have gone through some grueling experiences and have
That's
managed
true.
To be rescued and some saved, some not.
We have used many donated volumes of Tears and Tales to help organizations raise funds. We've been to the Constitution Square Festival in Kentucky, and there they had the Humane Society shelter people there. We sat right alongside them selling the book and giving them almost all of the profit on it so that they could continue to operate on a no-kill basis.
Oh, fabulous. That is fabulous. Well, I know that this book has already been awarded some winnings at different contests. I know the USA Book News contest, your book won a finalist status in that contest and has placed in the top 6 out of 1,200 entries.
That is correct. And we have Tears and Tales entered in several other contests that are still pending. I was very proud of that. To be selected in the top 6 out of 1,200 contestants.
Absolutely.
Confirms my belief and everyone else's belief that I can write effectively. And if I can do that, then I can help my other little friends out there who need a home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I also understand that the reviews on your book have consistently come in with 5 stars out of 5.
We have yet to have anyone rate us under 5 stars, and I'm simply floored by that because I thought someone surely has to put 4 stars, 4.5, or 3.5, but we have just been very, very proud of the fact that we have yet to see a less than 5-star review, and we've had some very tough reviewers looking at Tears and Tales.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to put a lot of pressure on me to write a book again that receives the same applause. But Tears and Tales has been very, very well received by everybody who has reviewed it. All of the people who have purchased it, many of them contact me telling me that it's simply a wonderful book. They reread it again and again. They pass it on to others so that they can read it.
Oh, I know it. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah, we're very happy about that. We really and truly are.
Absolutely. And you know, I know we've already hit on it, but let's just repeat. It's worth repeating what you want, ultimately, for readers to understand by reading your book.
If I had to put it in a single word, I would think that the word would be hope.
Mm.
That there is hope, and you can change your life, perhaps by having an animal friend who is more understanding in many, many ways than our human friends.
Mm-hmm.
Even a spouse, sometimes. We all have moods. They're changeable. But generally, animals are pretty consistent, and they stay the same. So for people who, like myself, had cancer and they survived, and they're suffering from anti- or post-operative depression, it's a wonderful way to work your way out and find a reason for living.
Well, you know, not only that, But more and more elder communities, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, more and more people dealing with the geriatric community are discovering the value that pets bring into the lives of older senior citizens.
That's very true. I have visited hospitals with photographs of some of our horses, and I just watch people's faces brighten as they hear someone new come into the facility and talk to them about their horses or their dogs or their cats. It really doesn't seem to make any difference to these people. They brighten up when they hear these things. And
absolutely.
I believe, and I think there are studies that back me up on this, that people who are elderly and have pets tend to live longer and better, more fruitful
a better quality
lives
of
than
life.
People who don't.
That's right, a better quality of life.
Yep.
And I know, too, that more and more of them are finding a way to allow their residents to have a pet reside with them.
That's also very true, and many hospitals now are allowing dogs to be brought in, miniature horses to be brought in, goats to be brought in, and I think that's marvelous because I truly believe it gives these people a reason for living.
Absolutely.
You know, I believe people can die from want of hope.
Oh, of course they can. I am a firm believer in that myself.
You know, we used to say it was a broken heart, but I think it's just a loss of hope, the fact that no one needs you or wants you. And I had that experience with my dad. He was 83. He suffered a mild heart attack. He should have survived. I knew in my heart that he wouldn't because he had given up hope and
mm-hmm.
he was ready to pass away.
Mm-hmm. That's profound, and it is so true. I've watched that myself. I've watched people as they get older struggle with health issues, whether it's stroke or heart attack or cognitive problems, whatever it may be, and if you can't find a way to help them find some hope, they will decline far more quickly, and the
Absolutely.
Quality of that decline will be much more severe.
Absolutely, and your senior years should be the years when you really begin to enjoy life.
Yes, if you haven't had a chance to beforehand, you better do it now.
That's right, exactly.
For sure. Well, Russell, tell the readers a little bit about where they can find your book.
Well, pretty well. We have a website set up at crazyduck.com.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute.
And that's with a K, and it's being handled in most of the national bookstores. It can be purchased on Amazon. I believe Barnes & Noble has it online, but they'll tell you they're out of stock. But Amazon is probably your best bet. You could also order it directly through our website. We also have a snail mail address, Crazy Duck Productions, Box 105, Danville, Kentucky, 40423, and we offer free shipping and free bookmarks
and
every
I bet
book that we send out.
And I bet you autograph the books before they go, don't
we
you?
We absolutely do, and if they want something special, they can indicate that. We have an email site on our website, and we're very happy to do that, and I apologize at this point for my poor handwriting.
Yeah. Hey, your signature is a signature. It's unique.
Well, I usually like to add a little comment, a personal comment, and I often wonder if they can read them.
That's okay. I bet most of them can.
I hope so. I really do try to make it legible, but I've been typing since I was 17, and I just don't have a handwriting skill.
Well, that's okay. I think there's just I love autographed copies of books with personal little notes, whether I can read them, and I managed to work my way through some amazing handwritings. So I bet the audience out there can do the same thing.
I hope so.
Well, now Russell, you've got to tell us a little bit about how you came up with the name Crazy Duck, KrazyDuck website.
Well, Crazy Duck again is based on a real live character.
Tell us. I've read this, and I just burst out laughing.
I was in my early 20s in college working full-time. My mother and I butted heads many, many times. She was somewhat aloof, somewhat cold. I'm sure she cared, but she really could not bring herself to show that. So I went out and bought at Easter time a little pet duck, and I kept him in a box, much to my mother's objection, but I think at that point she was not willing to push the issue.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, I would come home at night, and one of the things I did to relax would be to watch television, sit and have a cup of tea, and perhaps put two or three teaspoons of rye whiskey in the tea.
Mm-hmm.
It occurred to me after a while that this duck I bought would get out of the box, come up and visit, and he'd be drinking my tea. And one night he was wobbling off, staggering, And there were three stairs you had to walk up to get to where I was watching TV, and he just sort of rolled down the stairs and got caught in a corner at the bottom with his feet sort of wiggling and quack, 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 quack. And I said, you know, you're drunk. And I picked him up, and I laid him in his box, and I said, you're going to have one heck of a hangover in the morning. And, of course, I had to stop drinking tea with whiskey in it. But after that, all my friends, the reputation got around, and somebody labeled him Crazy Duck because he always seemed to never walk a complete straight line after that.
That is so funny. I actually have had a friend in the past who had a cat, and after her husband died, she would have a drink every night of her favorite liqueur, which I think was Bailey's. And she didn't like to drink alone, so she'd put a little in a dish for the cat. Well, the cat ultimately developed cirrhosis of the liver.
Oh, God.
And survived. I want to emphasize this cat survived. But, you know, I mean, after all, they have little systems, and they can't handle a whole lot of alcohol.
Well, as my duck proved, it didn't take very much to, you know, to put him over the edge.
Exactly. Oh, that is hilarious. That
you know. And believe it or not, he was quite an affectionate animal for a duck.
Sure.
People tend to think of them, you know, as something that you eat or a pet, but you don't get very close to them. But he actually was very, very affectionate.
That is such a cute story. Well, I just had to have you get that in here.
I'm glad you did.
Well, Russ, we are just about out of time. And as we wrap things up here, repeat for the audience your website again.
Yes, it's www.crazyduck.com. That's crazy with a K, .com, or snail mail at Crazy Duck Productions, Box 105, Danville, Kentucky, 40423.
Perfect, perfect. And Russ, I want to thank you for taking your time today to talk with us about yourself and your book.
It's been a pleasure, Gail, absolutely.
And this book is such a book of inspiration and hope for readers apparently of all ages. Young and old, and everyone in between.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Absolutely. And I want to encourage everyone out there to go to InsideScoopLive.com and ReaderViews.com, as well as Russ's website, CrazyDuck.com, and look over the reviews because they are amazing. And also I want everyone to know that this Internet radio segment will be posted to Russ's webpage, the author's webpage, where you can look at it and listen to it. You can read the reviews and read the interview and listen to this interview. And as well, the author's web links and Read Reviews web link will have links to the interview on Inside Scoop Live. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book for your own library and as a gift. It sounds like it's a badly needed gift for many, many people. Russ, again, thank you for joining us.
Gail, it was a pleasure being with you.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.